Let's open to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read just six verses. We're not going to go into it a lot as far as many verses, but we're going to look at it here. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate." Let's pray. Father, may your word be sharp today. Lord, may you keep me from trying to convict. May you keep me from trying to do anything other than just share your word. But Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in this place in such a way that we hear from you. God, that I say only what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. But Lord, help us to listen as if this would be the last time we ever get to hear your word. Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do. Lord, make it real. Thank you, and I praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are a lot of times that jokingly, Mr. Ford, when I leave, he says, "Steve, you kind of preached on sin today, and you need to kind of be careful," you know, type of deal. But that's what we're going to talk about today, but is sin, so I'll probably catch that as I go out today, but that's okay. I'm going to talk about the sin, but I want us to talk more than that about this passage of this serpent, the devil, the father of lies. Many titles, but I think that would be the best one for today, is the lies. I titled it Deception or Disobedience. The reason I did that is, as I'm praying over the last couple weeks over this message, it was one of those things that I'm looking at that, because we know that the Bible, as you go on through it, God says that sin entered the world through the first Adam, through Adam, and then grace entered through Jesus. And we had a child back during VBS say, "Well, didn't Eve sin first?" And that was the question brought from a child. And you can get into all kinds of theological debates, but I think what God has relayed to me today is something that we need to understand, or I needed to understand, is that the deception, the deceiving that Satan does, leads to sin. Now, some people will say deception is different than disobedience, because Eve was deceived, and we're going to get into that. Adam was just outright disobedient, because before Eve was even created, God told Adam, "Do not eat this fruit." And then everything takes place with Eve, and then Adam ate that fruit. He was just downright disobedient. He could blame it on Eve. He could blame this woman you gave me. And we're not going to get into that. But he could make all the excuses he wanted. But he heard from God himself, "Do not eat." And whatever the circumstances were, he chose to eat. Eve wasn't there when the command was given. And so we know that she probably got that information from Adam. Here's one key I don't want you to miss. because it's huge. If you get your information secondhand, it's a whole lot easier to be deceived. Okay? Because, and we don't know this, and I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but I just want us to understand for today, if you get, all you get that you know about God is from someone else, I don't care if it's me or your Sunday school teacher, your Bible school teacher, your parents, I don't care where you get it from, if you get it from a secondhand individual, other than the Word of God, other than God Himself, then there's always that, well, maybe Adam misunderstood. Maybe when he told Adam, Adam just didn't hear everything. You've always got that excuse of that other person. Well, what if they're not right? But if you get it from God Himself, there's no excuse but that you obey. Now, we always want to say, and I'm never going to purposely mislead anybody, but I am human and I'm going to mess up. When I was a parent, I messed up. Your Sunday school teachers are human. There's a possibility that they're going to mess up. Go to the source. Do not rely on other people. You have God's holy word. The Bible is God's inerrant word. Go to Him. Because if you rely on someone else, there's always that chance that you're misled, you misunderstand. They may have meant to relay it in the best way, and they may have meant to relay it in the proper way, but you misunderstood or they misled by the way they read. That can happen. Go to God Himself. Don't rely on someone else. Now, what takes place in these six verses are huge, because I guarantee you they are going to happen either while you're sitting in this congregation or when you walk out of this place within minutes. Because where Satan attacks the most is in church or right after church or when you're thinking about church. Because Satan has no reason to attack somebody that doesn't go to church. He has no reason to attack somebody that does not desire to be with God. So he is not going to be somewhere where people are already following him, where people have no desire for God. He's already got them where he wants them. So what's he going to do? He's going to intermingle in the pews of a church, this church. He's going to be at the door. Just like we try to greet you as you come in, he's going to greet you when you walk out. And he's going to try to beat you however he can. Well, that's an encouraging message, isn't it? Man, this pastor, I'm never coming back to this church again. I am going to be honest with you. Always. And that is what takes place. Because here is Eve. And we assume that this is in the garden. We know that's where they've been placed. So she is at the place where God placed her to be. And she knows the truth. She knows that they're not supposed to eat this fruit. Man, you can have anything else, but this one, no. A lot of people, a lot of Christians will say, you know, I know the truth, so I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about Satan defeating me or beating me or conquering me or beating me down because I know the truth. This is just one good instance of where Satan attacked a believer. But you know the best one that shows is when Jesus Christ was baptized. He was just baptized, the sky opened up, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any more encouraging. It doesn't get any more powerful. The Spirit comes down on him, and then right after that, he's led out into the desert, and Satan attacks. He was as close to God as you could get as a human being. Because he was 100% man at that time. Yes, 100% God, but 100% man. And that's when Satan attacked. So if you think you know enough of your Bible and you've been praying enough that Satan's not going to attack you, you're lying to yourself. Now, as we look at this passage today, Satan is out to deceive you. That's what he is. He's the father of lies. Like I said, he is going to deceive you. He's going to attempt to deceive you. Let me correct that. Now, understand this. He is going to try to deceive you, but he cannot make you sin. He cannot make you choose to sin, but he is going to do everything he can to deceive you. Because if he can deceive you, that could lead to, and a lot of times does, lead to the disobedience. So let's look at that first deception. Eve knows the truth. She tells him, and he says, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that you can't do that?" You know, I've talked to a lot of people in my time in the ministry and just as a Christian for myself. And people say, "Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say you can't do that." You know, there's a lot of things that the Bible doesn't say that you can't do, that you and I both know we're not supposed to do. "Well, it doesn't say that." You know, "Well, pedophilia is never in the Bible either. So it must be okay. Is that what you're saying?" No. But we take, and if it's not worded specifically, then we're not going to take it. And I'm not saying to put things in there, but you know as well as I do that you can read the Bible and it'll tell you what you should and shouldn't do. Satan is going to tell you that what you're doing really isn't sin. "Oh, eating that tree is not really sin." Did he really tell you you couldn't do that? She knew that God had told Adam not to do that. And Satan bold-faced lies to her and says, "Did he really say that?" And you've heard that in your mind. When that thing that's in your life that you enjoy, that I enjoy, and we know it's wrong, it's like, "Well, it's not that bad. And it doesn't say it anywhere. You know, I've looked, and it's not specifically listed. So did God really say it's wrong? It's not listed. Well, you know, other people that are good people, they say it's okay. Man, there are worse things out there that I could be doing." I don't think it's sin. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "God said it, that settles it. God said it, and I agree, that settles it." That "I agree" doesn't need to be in there. When God says it, it's settled. But too many times we put ourselves in there. Because that was a different culture back when the Bible was written. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. "Well, I really don't know. I'm not sure that it's sin." You know, if you're coming back from Bolivar and you're driving towards Stockton and you come through Fairplay, and when you see the speed limit sign, or there is a speed limit sign there that says 35 mile an hour. And I looked this past week, and as you're driving towards Fairplay from Bolivar, there is a tree limb that sticks out perfectly to block that speed limit sign. Some of you are shaking your head. You've seen it. But I know it's there. And so when you get right at it, you can see it. But when you're coming up on it, you don't know. But praise God, I haven't ever got a speeding ticket in Fair Play. But I know of people that have, that will say, well, I didn't see the sign. I didn't know that it was 35. And that police officer just kept writing the ticket. So ignorance is not an excuse for a speeding ticket. So why do I think ignorance from the Bible should be an excuse? Well, I didn't know it said that in there. Well, whose fault is that? Well, the pastor never told me, so it's not my fault. Satan's going to tell you that it's not sin. The only way you're going to know is that if you read it for yourself. Now, yes, I can be told secondhand and I can know, but if all I ever do is get my information secondhand, then there's always going to be this doubt in my mind. Did they understand it? Did they interpret it right? Did they say it correctly? Did I understand what they were saying? But when you take and you read God's Word and you spend time in prayer, well, Pastor, you know how long that would take? For me to read through the Bible and pray through the Bible about everything that it says in there, for me to know whether it's right or wrong, you know how long that would take? You know how long eternity is? If you don't know, it's your fault. Your pastor's really not trying to run you off. I'm just saying. But we have to understand the responsibility falls on us. As individuals, it falls on me to know what this book says. And yes, I get commentaries and I listen to people and I go to Bible studies and I learn from people. But when it comes down to it, I'm the one responsible to go back to this Word and know it. And so are you. Because Satan is going to lie to you and tell you the things that are sin are not sin. And you know what things he's going to pick out? Not the things that you hate. Oh, you know, murder. No, he's not going to talk about those things. He's going to talk about those things that we like. Because he knows that she's going to see this tree and she sees it's pleasant to the eyes and all of those things that we're going to get to in just a minute. And so when he attacks you, he's not going to come full force. He's going to say, you know, that's not really sin. Don't worry about it. It is sin, and you better worry about it. If there's doubt, don't. Go to the book and find the answer. So the first time he lied, he said, has God really said that? That you can't eat of that? The woman tells him, straight up, yes. Man, that's a great response. And sometimes that's what we do. When God tells, or when Satan tries to deceive us, like, you know, is it really that bad? Is it really something that God is wanting you not to do, or God is telling you to do? Because to him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that's sin too. And so whatever it is that Satan's trying to deceive you, man, we can come back with a great answer that we know what it says. And then what does Satan do? He comes back in verse 4 and he says, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Man, the consequences of that sin aren't that bad. It's not that bad. There's so many other things that are so much worse. Man, nobody else is getting hurt. Maybe nobody will ever know. How is anybody ever going to know what I look at on my computer or the attitude that I have? Or if I'm in a faraway town, how's anybody ever going to know what I did? So if there's no harm, there's no foul. That's not scriptural. That's something you yell from a basketball bleachers. But he tells her that the consequences are not going to be that bad. Look at all the people that are doing it and nothing has happened to them. Man, we've been going through the Old Testament. And we went through 1 and 2 Samuel, and now we're in Jeremiah. And so many times, nothing has happened when people would do exactly what God had told them not to do. And so you could sit back and say, well, why are they getting away with this? And we can question that. And that's not up to us. But we can also look at the other side and say, well, if they're not getting in trouble, then I probably won't either. Satan's saying, yo, have you ever seen anybody judged for doing that? Of all the people that you know are doing that sin, whatever it might be, have you ever seen anybody really get judged for it? No, we haven't. We see consequences sometimes, and maybe that's a form of judgment on this earth. But Satan's going to try to convince you that the consequences are not that bad. You won't really die. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. There is no other way to say that. Sin is going to bring forth death. Either yours and mine, or because of the grace of God, Jesus's. That's the only options. Because the wages are there. And they're going to be paid. They were either paid on Calvary, or they're going to be paid at the feet of Jesus. But mark my word, mark this word, they will be paid. But Satan says, oh, you won't really die. And he tells us, you've been getting away with that sin in your life for all this time, and nothing's ever happened. Not only other people are not getting judged, but think about it. You've got away with it for a long time. Why stop now? And he lies to her. He deceives her. First by telling her it's not sin. Then by telling her that it's not really, the consequences are not that bad. And the sad thing is, we want to believe those two things. You and I want to believe those two things. And then when he lies to her, deceives her the third time, that's the one that really gets us. He says in verse 5, he says, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil." Positive is going to come from this sin. you and I want to rationalize and try. Well, you know, if good can come from it, it can't be that bad. And we tell ourselves that. But the Bible says sin has its pleasure for a season. If it wasn't fun, enjoyable, pleasing in some way, then there would be no temptation. There is no temptation to driving a nail through your eyeball. There's probably not to anybody in here. Because that does not sound pleasing in any way, shape, or form. But when something is pleasing to us, then it's a temptation. And to give in to that temptation is the sin. And so what Satan does is he tries to take that sin that she already knew was wrong. And he tries to tell her that the consequences aren't that bad. And so what does he do? He covers it and he coats it with this, oh, look at the good that's going to come from this. And he does that to us. That thing that you're dealing with in your life that you know shouldn't be there, that thing that I'm dealing with in my life that I know shouldn't be there, he wants to tell us, Satan wants to tell us that good can come from it. Look at the positive side of it. Yeah, there's negatives, but look at the positive side. That's what Satan tells us. Man, all the positives are out there. It surely can't be that bad. Well, if I speed, I'll get there sooner. If I lie, it'll make me look better. If I do this or do that, look at the enjoyment I will have. God says no. And you have to decide. And I have to decide. If Satan is not lying to you right now about something, one of two things are going on in your life. One is he's already got you. He doesn't need to lie to you. And we hope and pray that's not true. But the other is that Satan's changed his character. And you know that hasn't happened. So either he has you or he's changed his character or he's lying to you. So you and I need to figure out where he's lying to us and take care of it. Because he is going to lie to us. Because when he destroys one person here, he deceives one person. She takes and gives it to Adam. It affects everybody. Do not ever think that your sin is just affecting you. It will affect everybody you know. Some way. Now they may never find out. You may have hidden your sin in a closet or in another state or whatever. And you think, how's it ever going to affect these people? Because they will never know. Because it affects you. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your attitude towards your purpose for God. And when it affects those two things, it affects everybody you communicate with. Today, we need to understand that he's lying to us. And the only way to fight off a lie is by knowing the truth. If you're not a Christian, then he's lying to you saying you really don't need a Savior. Or he's lying to you saying, well, God's love will cover all that up. You've heard about that grace. His grace is sufficient. You don't need to do any of that stuff. God's a God of love and everything will work out fine. Or he's lying to you telling you that you can always turn around later. Later in life you can change everything. if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, those are probably three of the lies that He's giving you on a daily basis. Don't accept those lies. Accept the truth, and the truth is in Jesus. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. Every man is appointed once to die, and after that to face the judgment. It says, you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. He tells us to repent of our sins. In Luke 13:3, He tells us to fight it off, take every thought captive, and resist the devil, and he will flee. He tells us the truth for a reason, because He knows we're bombarded with lies every day of our life. He doesn't want you to come to Christ. And He's going to lie to you every chance He gets to keep you from doing that. And Christian, He's going to lie to you too. You may have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and your eternity is set. Your relationship with God, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and praise God for that. But am I fulfilling the purpose for which He has left me here? Because Satan is calling us to turn away from God. You're okay where you're at. You're doing plenty where you are. That's a lie. Because if God didn't have a purpose for you here, He would have taken you home. So He's lying to you, saying you're okay where you're at. You're faithful in church. You're a good parent. You're a good grandparent. You're a good child. You're all those good things, and you may be. But you're not good enough. He has called us to fulfill the purpose, and Satan is lying to us, keeping us from fulfilling that purpose. And we're keeping things in our life that are keeping that purpose away, because He's telling us it's okay. It's not that bad. That's not really what God meant. The consequences aren't that bad. Look at all the good that can come out of it. He's giving us those lies daily. And we are taking them in hook, line, and sinker. And as long as we do that, we'll never be effective for the kingdom of God. And that's what Satan wants. So, I want to close with this. Satan is going to lie to you today. Maybe you don't need this message. Every single one of us that's breathing needs this message. I've got time. You don't know that. What you do have is the Word of God, and you need to know it. And that's the truth. That's the truth that will set you free. Because if you think, I'm close enough to God that I can fight off the lies, to Him, it tells us in the Bible, when you think you stand firm, that's when you're going to fall. Let's pray. Father, we come before You knowing that the devil's going to lie to us. God, we can't fight him off on our own. We need Your power. We need Your Word. We need You. Lord, may we go from this place not weakened because we know the lies are there, but Lord, strengthened because we know the truth that You have given us, the power of the Holy Spirit to fight off Satan. We praise You for who You are. We love You for who You are. Lord, may we learn to love You more. God, strengthen us and draw us to You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.